Welcome to the Winterest Business Lunch with me, Jisuke. So happy to be back with you. I'm sorry it's not under better circumstances. The Dow gives up big gains after its worst one-day loss since the Great Recession yesterday. But never fear, Terry Savage is here. She is our expert on the economy, finance, and also on the markets. Hi, Terry. How are you?
Ooh, crazy day. Yes, you could go crazy with the markets today. There's a big rally at the opening, up over 900 points. Then I watched the market slide back to actually hit negative territory for a while. We're up about 300 right now. Quite a roller coaster.
So, Terry, what do you think about the targeted fiscal stimulus that they're talking about, the payroll tax cut, potential?
I don't know if I can use swear words on radio. I'm going to call baloney on that strategy. Come on, you don't have to be an economic genius to figure this out. They're talking about targeted payroll tax cuts. Number one, who, if they get a tax cut in their payroll, is going to book a cruise or a trip or a plane trip or anything? So if you get a tax cut, lovely. Number two, who's really impacted? People who aren't working. A tax cut doesn't help people who don't have jobs.
So it won't spur on consumer spending.
Things, yeah. What?
So it won't spur on consumer spending.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think it's going to make more people go to movies. I don't think it's going to make people decide they'll splurge on baseball tickets or whatever else it is that they might have wanted to do. I mean, I think how can I say this? The whole market went up 900 points at the opening on the idea that governments around the world, Japan and so forth, some in Europe maybe, and that the administration would put in a payroll tax cut. I mean, that's in ordinary times. These are not ordinary times. We have an economic slowdown that is snowballing downhill, not only in the United States, but in Europe. Listen to what Orion said. The airlines are cutting flights. What does that do to flight attendants' jobs? What does that do to the people who work in the airports and the stores that sell stuff? I mean, you have now the potential for a rolling economic slowdown. Giving tax cuts to people who are working and have jobs is not the way you deal with that.
Terry, what about the possibility of a second interest rate cut? How do you feel about that?
Tell me again. What does that do? I mean, that's very psychological. It's astounding that our rates held up as high as they were for so long, given that Europe had negative rates. There's $16 trillion worth of central bank debt in Europe that they're paying. People are paying in Germany. They're paying 1% to get a bank to hold their money. All my friends who've called me up, my CD is rolling over. I'm not getting any interest. In Germany, Switzerland, you pay the banks 1% to hold your money. You just want it to be safe. You don't want to lose it anywhere. You don't have the guts to go buy a house or buy a property or invest in those markets. So we're beginning to see a little bit of what Europe had. And you know, I've been saying for months, the Fed is not in charge of this. The markets are way ahead of the Fed.
So, Terry, overall,
the logic of this tells you this, Gee, not the public relations or the economic genius. We need to stop, or at least to have information about the spread of this virus.
So, Terry, running out of time, of course, again, overall volatility, how long do you think this is going to last?
I think it's going to last quite a while. And I want to, we're running out of time. I want you to all think about this. Those of you in 401ks or IRAs who have mutual funds, those funds are priced at the close of business. So if you see the market up today in the middle of the day, be careful not to issue a sell order. You wanted to get out and get into something safer, because you get the closing price in a traditional mutual fund inside your IRA or outside your IRA. Stocks and exchange-traded funds trade every minute and every second. But a warning that just because you see or heard there's a big gain during the day on your mutual fund, it may not be that way at the close. And today the close is what counts, because if we're lower, we will be down 20%. That makes it officially a bear market. We were down 19% from the tops as of the close yesterday. So just watch this close very carefully. I can't predict.
Well,
but
you love her.
Back and forth.
Thank you so much, Terry, for calming us down.
Happy to be with you. I keep posting updates at terrysavage.com, by the way.
Absolutely. A ton of resources there. And you can ask Terry your direct questions on her website as well. Thank you so much, Terry. G here with the Wintrust Business Lunch. Thanks so much for keeping it right here on WGN Radio. Of course, with the coronavirus scares, we've been hearing about all the school closings and the cancellations of sporting events and also conventions that are coming to Chicago. But did you know that yesterday, Rivers Casino in Des Plaines took the first legal sports bet in Illinois, despite all of the scare over the pandemic and also the financial market collapse as well? Joining us now is the manager of Rivers Casino, Corey Wise. Hi, Corey.
Hi, how's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Of course, fantastic. Okay, so tell me, how did it go yesterday despite everything that was going on? You guys definitely had quite a day to launch.
Yeah, we were very excited to take the first legal sports wager in Illinois and had a tremendous day after that. We had Eddie Olchek in to do our ceremonial first bet. We did our ribbon cutting and revealed our beautiful space. We have created a Vegas-like sports book here in Chicago. We have a 45-foot high-def video board. We have big luxurious chairs to sit at. We have a full kitchen and dining options. We have 5 betting windows and 30 automated betting kiosks. So we're really excited to provide that to our customers and be the first to do so in Illinois. It was a historic day yesterday.
So you have betting windows. You also have the betting kiosk. And then also you're going to be coming out with a website and a mobile app as well, right?
Yeah, shortly after our launch, yesterday was about getting our retail launched, and then we're going to be following that up with our online app, which will allow you to bet even outside of our walls. Currently, you can pre-register for our online app by coming to our Rush Rewards counter, signing up for a card, telling them that you're interested in sports betting, and then when we launch it, we will push it out to you, and you can finalize the registration process and start betting wherever you are across the state of Illinois.
It sounds like a beautiful space. Sounds wonderful. But we can't ignore yesterday of the elephant in the room, of course, with everything going on with the markets and then also with coronavirus. What are some of the preventative measures that you guys are taking out there?
Yeah, we have we've put together a corporate-wide across all of our properties a task force to look at how we're going to prevent and respond and communicate on this. We have current cleaning personnel on our property, wiping down all of our machines 24 hours a day. You know, obviously hand sanitation, alcohol-based hand sanitation all across the property. And then just really following all the CDC guidelines. We've posted additional information for our guests. Yeah, we're taking this with the utmost seriousness, and we'll continue to respond and alter those approaches as anything else comes up.
Well, of course, you guys got a head start on the process when you opened up Bet Rivers. Are you guys a little bit nervous about the current economy and whether people are going to be coming out there and betting?
I mean, obviously, it's a huge unknown, as you saw with the market volatility yesterday, today, even last week. And, you know, we're cautiously optimistic that because we have a complementary new revenue stream, new product offering, we have a full breadth of things that we can give our guests, but it's kind of an unknown at this point. So we're just excited to really provide this completely new customer base, what they've been clamoring for and asking for, and they've had the opportunity to do it in Indiana and got a little head start on us there, and we're looking now to play catch up.
So a little bit less focus right now on the revenue, just about what sort of amenities and services you guys are providing for customers.
Yeah, so related to the sports book, across the property we have 7 different food outlets. We have 67 table games, over almost 1,100 slot machines. We welcome about 8,000 customers a day to come through our doors. But everything from Gibson's partnership that we have with Gibson's Restaurant Group for our Hugo's Frog Bar to, you know, our amazing burgers that we have in one of our quick casual outlets. So we have great food offerings. We've got great nightlife amenities, and then just amazing, top-notch, unmatched gaming experience for our guests. So we think adding the sports betting to that just takes us to another level. We're already, I think, the best in Chicagoland as well as the Midwest, and just another thing that we can do and provide to our guests.
And Bet Rivers Sportsbook, of course, is going to be amped up for March Madness.
Yeah, we're selling all the seats in there. So if you want to come out and reserve your spots, you can have it within the sports book. You can do that online and reserve a spot to come out. We're also converting some of our other spaces, including our center bar. We're setting up with additional capacity and additional TVs for all the viewing there, as well as taking over our buffet and creating a madness buffet with additional viewing options and putting some betting kiosks in there as well. So, yeah, come on out. Those first 4 days of March Madness are some of my favorite days of sports watching, and we're trying to complement that with everything we're offering here.
Well, thanks so much, Corey Wise, General Manager of Rivers Casino. Got a lot more coming up on WGN Radio. G here with the Wintrust Business Lunch. Thank you so much for listening to WGN Radio. Of course, we are sponsored by Wintrust Bank, and Wintrust doesn't just focus on banking. They actually partner with a lot of nonprofits in the community. And today's nonprofit feature by Wintrust Bank is Mercy Home for Boys and Girls. And in the studio is Mark Schmeltzer. He's Director of Communications. Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Thanks for being with us. I hear that you have your own version of March Madness coming up.
It is. You know, it's something that we've been doing for since about 1996, and I've been doing it for about 15 years now. But it's called our March for Kids campaign, and it's the one time the year where we really get out into the community and ask everyone to play a role in supporting a great organization that helps kids in need. And we do that through, we kind of leverage the celebrations around St. Patrick's Day in Chicago, which of course are, you know, one of the best celebrations anywhere. I think it was just voted number one recently, overtook Boston and New York for the biggest and most fun celebrations. So we've always been part of that. We've been marching in the St. Patrick's Day parade, and we'll do so again this week. But in addition to marching, we have volunteers who will be out there collecting donations for Mercy Home, and you'll see them in their green vests, and they'll do it again the next day at the Southside Parade, and we'll have a little party afterwards at the Cultural Center right after the downtown parade.
It sounds fun. We're going to dive a little deeper into that, but just remind us what kind of good work Mercy does.
Well, Mercy Home's been around in Chicago since 1887, and we've been caring for young people who have suffered adversities in their lives, such as abuse, neglect, or community violence, homelessness, things like that. Experiences that have really left a traumatic imprint in their lives. And what we're providing them, of course, first and foremost, is a safe and stable place to live. But we're also providing them with the wraparound services they need to build a brighter and more stable and independent future. Things like therapy to heal from the trauma, a good education, life skills, job skills, even experience with job experience. And we do that a lot of times through the corporate partners who open their doors to our kids for jobs and internships, which really give them their first experience with work. And that pays dividends down the line for sure.
So these are children that are really in crisis. What's the age range, mm-hmm. and where do they find you, and how do you find them?
Yeah. So the kids who live with us full time are from 11 to, there's really no cap. It's usually about 22 or so. They come to us from a variety of circumstances, but most of them have a guardian. We are not their guardian. They may come from a struggling family. Perhaps they're coming from a grandparent because maybe the parent is out of the picture for whatever reason. And now the child is getting a little older and getting to some issues at home or in the neighborhood. And the grandparent can no longer sort of handle this issue. So they come to us. They're often referred as well by their school counselors and other people in the community who know of us and who know that we are a lifeline for kids like that. Those are the kids who live with us full time. And there's about 134 at any one time. But then we have several other programs where we're working with lots of other kids, both out in the community, working with the families of the kids that live with us, and working with former residents. And so when you add up those numbers, we're really serving about 1,100 or so children and family members every year.
Wow. And then you have a home for boys, you have a home for girls. Mm-hmm. Where are they located?
So the boys' campus, which is our historic headquarters as well, is in the West Loop, and that is Jackson and Racine. And our girls' campus, which opened up in celebration of our centennial in 1987, is in the Beverly Morgan Park neighborhood, 116th and Longwood.
I know that you're grateful to be partnered with Wintrust Bank appreciate all of their support, but this takes a lot of funding. So how are you guys funded?
It's a great question. Thank you. We are actually 100% privately funded. So we can only do the things that we do through private donations from individuals, from corporations, and from other folks who share with us their time and their treasure. Wintrust being, of course, a great partner for us, not only in terms of the programs they support directly, but sometimes like opportunities like this, giving us a platform to really spread the word. Because we're privately funded, it's really essential for us to let everyone know that we're out there and the good that we're doing, so they can go to our website, for example, like mercyhome.org, and make a donation. So these opportunities that Wintrust provides for us, these platforms, are absolutely invaluable.
Okay, so let's make sure that everybody knows how they can support Mercy Home for Boys and Girls, because you have several great events mm-hmm. coming up, all to help celebrate around St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that other people, maybe from other cities, will come in and celebrate. I've heard of some celebrations being canceled in the country, so maybe hopefully this will bring other folks in too.
Well, the last we heard, it's still on, so we're got our fingers crossed. But you know, regardless of what happens this weekend, and regardless of whether you yourself cannot make it to the parade, you could still go online and make a donation at mercyhome.org. And in fact, March is a fantastic time to do it, because throughout the month, even after St. Patrick's Day, anyone who makes a donation online at mercyhome.org, that donation will be doubled thanks to a generous matching donor.
Oh, kudos to that donor. And then you also have some celebrity power as well helping you out.
That's correct. You know, Bill Rancic is a board member of ours, and he has been helping us, kind of leveraging his own celebrity for many years, getting the word out. But he's also, as an entrepreneur and a restaurateur, helping to raise funds through a menu special, through a drink special at his RPM restaurants throughout this month, as are several other restaurants in Chicago. I'm going to read from the list here, but we have Chicago. So many are involved this year. Chicago Chop, Farm Bar, Farmhouse Chicago, The Gauge, Joy District, Monteverde, Nonina, and Piccolo Sogno. So a lot of these places have a drink special or some other menu item that the proceeds of which will go and benefit Mercy Home during the March for Kids campaign.
So lots of ways to help. There's some tasty ways. There's ways. You can go out and party. You can have a mm-hmm. drink. You can have dinner. Or you can just go to the website and donate. And give me that website one more time again.
Mercyhome.org.
Well, thank you so much to Mark Schmeltzer. He's the Director of Communications for Mercy Home for Boys and Girls. And this was a nonprofit feature by Wintrust Bank. A lot more coming up on WGN Radio. G here on the Wintrust Business Lunch, and in the studio now is WGN Radio's very own Amy Guth. This is a part of the show where we talk about trending business stories. Hi, Amy.
Hi. You were very missed yesterday. John Hansen.
Yes,
did
fantastic.
A wonderful job on your behalf, but you were missed.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm happy to be back. I just wish that the markets were doing a bit better.
A little better news to report, indeed. Yeah, we've all been watching that today. Well, kind of connected to that, Delta and American have cut some flights, and they've made a hiring freeze as they say coronavirus is hurting demand for travel. Also of note on that, as they've adjusted their forecast to the point of abandoning their 2020 forecast, Southwest Airlines CEO Gary Kelly said that he is going to take a 10% cut in pay during these times. And United CEO Oscar Munoz and President Scott Kirby, they are going to forego their base salaries through at least June 30th to try to help the airlines through this kind of tough spot.
I think that's great leadership. I was curious. So right before the show, I was on Orbitz checking out flights, and flights are very cheap right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the question is, when will it be a little safer to travel? I think that's on a lot of people's minds. Everybody I talk to is kind of going, oh, I have this trip at whatever point. I hope it's okay by then. I know some people have some trips coming up really soon, and so they've started looking at, okay, what did I buy? Can I get that refunded, or can I get a credit and do another time? A lot of airlines have been moving and changing their change fees. Some are letting you move tickets and things like that.
Very scary for the travel and tourism industry. They've really been pummeled. It's too early, I think, for real concrete data, but economists and industry executives are really fearing that this is going to be way worse than 9/11 or you know what happened with SARS before as
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing is we're in a cultural moment where we want to know right now. Yeah,
I know. And well, we're used to it. We're used to immediate gratification because of the internet.
Exactly right. And this is a thing we have no choice but to wait and be comfortable waiting. And that's really, really difficult for business, for emotions, for a lot of things. That's a difficult thing to do, especially when we're so accustomed to just Google it and find out. So Delta is reducing its international flights by as much as 25% and domestic capacity between 10 and 15%. So we'll see a lot fewer travel options once airlines are, you know, running a little more. I've seen a lot of people tweeting from airports saying like, wow, how empty. But then I've heard from people that said, you know, I just flew and I didn't really notice a difference. It wasn't that different at all.
We've been hearing a lot of retail news as well about long lines and people taking runs on toilet paper and sanitizing wipes.
I don't know about you, but my grocery store now has a sign up that says over by the toilet paper and paper towels, it says limit 6 rolls per customer.
Well, Target is also taking, you know, going along the same lines. They're going to limit some purchases and they're going to clean checkout lines every 30 minutes. And of course, this makes total sense, suspending food samples as well. So the CEO posted a message to customers saying company is going to implement new cleaning procedures and it's going to be staffing up its online services in response to people that are self-quarantining or, you know, they're saying folks over the age of 60 should probably think about stocking up.
Changing some habits, and mitigating their use of air travel, things like that. Interesting that you mentioned that. I was thinking about retail and, you know, so many people, you and I have talked about not really carrying cash and using a debit card. And I was like using the debit pin the other day going, oh gosh, I wonder how many people have touched this keypad, right? But I walked into an Ulta yesterday. And while I was
beauty supplies,
that's right,
a local Chicago company,
I walked in there yesterday and what I noticed, I wasn't even thinking about it. I was like, I got to run in there and get my hand cream that I like. And what I noticed was, I don't know if it was company directed or not. I wasn't able to find that out. It seemed as if there was just a couple of really conscientious workers in there that were sanitizing, you know, because that's a place where they've encouraged people to go in, play with lipstick, play with makeup, play with skincare. Now, maybe not the time, maybe cold and flu season at all, probably not the time to be doing that. But they were really, you know, sanitizing with alcohol, some of the ends of lipstick and eyeliners and things like that.
And that's what Target is also doing. You talked about the touch screens. That's what they're going to be wiping down the every part of the checkout lane. So including the little pin pad.
Look, there's no such thing as too much cleaning in my book. I'm like always a tidy person, I like to think. So I like to do a lot of cleaning. This is, you know, I think if anything, it's making people have conversations about, well, maybe I don't wash my hands long enough and maybe I should take my shoes off before I walk in the house and things like that.
Well, I am definitely implementing the nail brush when I'm washing my hands. So
I
highly recommend that. That will help get under your fingernails and then also make sure that your hands are totally clean.
I saw a very funny tweet the other day. Somebody said, you know what? This is only bringing to my attention that so many of my coworkers merely do like a ninja chop at the water to wash their hands and don't wash nearly enough. And I was thinking about that. So I'm trying not to spy on people and go like, be judgmental about like how long people have washed their hands. But you know what? Now we're talking about it so much. So it's, you know, it's top of mind, I think.
Also, a United flight was diverted after passengers became disruptive because someone was sneezing. So we want everyone to be reasonable. Try to stay calm. This was a commercial flight from a Colorado ski country to Newark, New Jersey, and they had to make an unscheduled stop in Denver after several passengers became disruptive because they were seated next to someone who they thought was sick.
Well, dry cough is more the symptom that's reported. In fact, I even saw there was an epidemiologist that I follow on Twitter who said, hey guys, maybe not so much hate. Sneezing is not really one of those predominant symptoms of COVID-19. It's really more about the coughing and the fever and shortness of breath than it really is about sneezing. Like, I sneezed the other day just because somebody had really strong perfume on me, next to me on the L. And I swear everybody looked at me like I had done something wrong. And I was like, I said, just allergic. We're good.
Confession time. I was on a flight yesterday and there were two people that were really hacking and coughing. And I thought, oh boy, I did think twice. I said, oh goodness, I hope they're okay.
Right.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah. And I didn't want to sit near them.
these things are top of mind, you know, but I keep saying it's not just so binary. It's not just a choice of like apathy or panic. We can also like just say, hey, I'm going to be informed and stay on top of the news and go with it.
More with Amy Guth coming up. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.